Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for July the 14th, 2016. First of all, I'd like to welcome a new member, Chris Clements, to the board. Chris is over here, and we wish her best in her success here. Anyway, would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk.
Here.
Clements.
Here.
Gallagher. Spranger.
Here.
Gallagher.
Here. The Board of Adjustment is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. It is the responsibility of the board to interpret the zoning ordinances. They apply to special uses and variances to the city ordinance. Each member has had an opportunity to go out and view the site in question and usually comes to make a vote at the meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the June 9th meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Clements?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. The board will move to item B, which is case 16-047 at 5645 Barcelona. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 40 feet to 18 feet to allow construction of a 14 by 25-foot deck submitted by Wesley Hand. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is located at the intersection of Barcelona and Field Psych. It involves the lot on the northwest corner of that intersection, and it is highlighted in yellow in the graphic currently being displayed. The applicant would like to add a 14 by 25-foot deck to the rear of all of the existing structure as it exists today. This is a very large parcel with 49,222 square feet. This parcel has numerous issues that are involved in this request. There is an electrical easement on the southeast corner, and it averages approximately 70 foot wide and 115 feet deep. There's a 7.5 foot wide utility easement on the west side of the property. There's a 30 foot wide sanitary sewer easement Z shape that runs through the middle of the property. There is a 50 foot wide open space easement on the north end of the property. There is a 100-foot electrical easement in the middle of the property. And more than half of the property is an outlot to contain a flood zone. And it has 30-foot setbacks along Barcelona and Field Psych Road as well. So basically, on this parcel that contains 1.13 acres of land, except for what has already been built on, the remainder of the parcel is unbuildable. Based on all of the above, the applicant does feel that there is a legitimate hardship considering the size of the parcel and the highly unusual combination of all of the easement and factors that have come together on this lot. If approved, as you can see, the deck, the rear most portion of the deck would still be over 200 feet away from the rear property line. The rear property line does include outlot A. And that would be even farther removed from any other development to the north of this, as all of this area up here as well contains the 100-year flood zone. I believe that summarizes the request and all of the issues that the applicant is facing on this lot. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Would you go to the podium, please, and state your name and address if you wish?
In favor of it?
I'm a builder.
Would you want to state anything about this, sir?
Like John said, there's 1.25 acres of this land that roughly almost more than half of it is not buildable. So this customer would like to be able to extend his deck out for enjoyment in this area. So that's about all I have.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there a motion from the board or further discussion?
I have no questions.
No questions. Is there a motion?
I motion for approval.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
A motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Clements?
Yes.
Springer?
Yes.
Bollinger?
Yes. Case -16-027 at 5645 Barcelona, R1 District, has been approved. Case 16-048 at 5422 Caven Crossing, R3 District, is a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 25 feet to 20 feet to allow for the construction of a 6-foot by 12-foot deck, submitted by Town and Country Bettendorf. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is located at the southern end of Caven Crossing. It is on the west side of the cul-de-sac. The applicant would like to add a 12-foot by 16-foot deck addition to the rear of the existing structure. This site backs up to a future commercial district. By code, that commercial district will be required when it's developed to have a 25-foot landscaping buffer that will separate it from the request now before you from any future development. The higher density property always has the requirement on that side to provide the buffering, so there will be a buffer area and right in that area there. The applicant also points out the elevation differential between the two properties, feels that there's significant enough drop between the two properties that it'll also serve as to give an appearance of separation between the two differing zone properties. The view from the deck area as it exists today, as it is compared to the commercial area is starting down in here, and although it's not very visible from the photo, it does drop significantly downhill from that section there. If allowed, the small addition to the deck would come out approximately like this. It would not be covered. I'm sorry, I did that wrong. It would just be a standard deck with a railing on it. The reason for that request is, as you can see, the structure right now is totally enclosed. There's no provision for putting a grill out on that enclosed deck area safely without a fire hazard. That's why they're seeking simply that small 6-foot deck addition to the rear, so that they would have some place to put the deck on the rear end of it. I believe that summarizes the request and the issues related to it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Would you go to the podium, please, and state your name and address?
My name is Dan Dolan. I'm the builder, Town and Country Development. My office is in Davenport. I live in Muscatine. I'm here on behalf of my customers, Jim and Janae Gilliland. They're coming back to retire in Bettendorf. They're longtime previous Bettendorf residents. The problem that we have, first we started with an open deck where we could grill. The wind coming up that hill would lift the table up and bang it into the house and the windows and the chairs. So we covered it and we put a wind wall up, and then we ran into the problem where how do we grill? I don't believe it's going to create any issues. It's a significant change in elevation there. And to fill where that area is particularly low, I believe that a lot of that dirt is going to have to move down the hill to ever develop that site. And it would make it a much more livable house for my customers, and that's why we're here.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there any questions from the board?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman, and this is directed both at staff and potentially at Mr. Dolan. That home is at the end of a cul-de-sac or on at the bulb of a cul-de-sac. Do we know if that same condition is going to impact other houses that are on that cul-de-sac and to be built on that cul-de-sac? Are we looking at a condition that's going to be common? Should we be looking ahead towards additional?
In one of the other reports that's before you, I noted the difference in width of the buildable area between the front and rear setbacks was significantly different on just two of the lots. That's going to be one of the later cases. I don't believe there's as drastic an issue here as what there will be in that case we'll be reviewing later on.
Okay.
Significant area in between the front and rear, significant area between the front and rear, significant. Not like the case that we're going to be describing later.
The illustration makes it appear as though that is the smaller of those lots.
And agreed.
And if that's the case, then the likelihood is we're not going to necessarily encounter the same issue. Okay.
I believe that's accurate.
All right.
Anyone else have any questions or concerns?
Does this porch have to have a form of egress? Was there a previous form of egress from the back of the house?
From the deck?
Because they're not illustrating that.
Single family residential just needs one means of egress out of it.
Okay.
Is there a motion on this item?
Well, I'd make a motion that we approve the request as submitted for case number 16-048 at 5422 Cave and Crossing.
Thank you. Is there a second?
A second.
Been a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Clements?
Yes.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Hollinger?
Yes. Case 16-048 at 5422 Cave and Crossing is approved. Case 16-049 at 5572 Integrity Way in R1 District is a request for a variance to increase the allowable garage area from 734 square feet to 1,264 square feet, submitted by Bob Bucher. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
The site is located at the west side of Integrity Way. It's accessed off of 53rd, going up through Idaho, Happiness, and then eventually turning around onto Integrity Way. It is the lot that's highlighted. Last month, the board approved a variance to allow up to 1,040 square foot garage for the structure. The applicant is now returning and is requesting to increase that request to allow a 1,264 square foot garage. Additional garage is being built on there. As well as here, it's gone from 26 feet to 28 feet. The change includes an additional 224 square feet, and the increases the garage ratio for this request to 67%. I believe that summarizes the request, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Is anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, this was before us last month. Is there a motion on this item?
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead. Bill?
At the request of the board for seeing many of these cases before you, staff has been working on a zoning ordinance rewrite our proposed change to the ordinance where it comes into effect these garage sizes is going to be that everybody's allowed 1,000 square foot of garage. If they wish to exceed that, it can be up to 75% of the square footage of the house. So that's not ordinance yet. It's just going to be staff's recommendation for the ordinance. So I just wanted to give you some background.
How does this fit into that category?
Yes.
How does this fit into this category?
Well, this one is 67% of the square footage of the house.
Okay, so you could go 75.
If the new ordinance is passed, yes.
If the new ordinance is passed. Okay.
Essentially, this will appear from the street as it was going to appear from the street under the approval that we previously made.
You would not see an architectural change from the street. I think that's accurate.
And that's consistent with what we've always tried to do in looking at these.
But it's what you've been telling us for years.
Yeah.
And when we were getting ready to do an ordinance review, you wanted it to reflect the way the house was going to look rather than necessarily the square footage or percentage-wise, and you're always getting these.
Is there a covenant in place for the maintenance of your vehicles, your motorhomes, your boats, your trailers, and the like in that neighborhood?
It's not a requirement that developers give us their restrictive covenants, and staff is never involved in the enforcement of those, so that's something that's always told. However, it's the developer that's issuing this variance request, so I assume it probably meets with his restrictive covenants.
He can hide his toys in a bigger garage.
Yeah. I'll make the motion to approve case 16-49 at 5572 Integrity Way.
I'll second it.
There's a motion to approve. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Clements?
Yes.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Springer?
Yep.
Bolliger?
Yes. Case 16-049 at 5572 Integra Way, R1 District, has been approved. Case 16-050 at 931 State Street, a C2 District. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required sign setback from an on-premise identification sign from 20 feet to 0 feet, submitted by Deb Bastola. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this site is located south of State Street towards the intersection of 10th and State. It involves a gas station redevelopment site currently under construction, and the site is highlighted in yellow on the graphic being displayed. You previously allowed a variance involved in this case months ago prior to construction. There were several reasons for that variance request. This is the approved plan, including the variance that you allowed back then. The applicant is facing some difficulties placing the freestanding sign for the new business. First of all, on the west side of the property, there is a quite large billboard located. If the sign is put at the required setback, it would be set back behind the billboard and be completely not visible from State Street, keeping in mind State Street is a one-way, so the traffic, it would actually be located behind the billboard. No traffic would be able to see it. On the west side, if it's placed at the required setback, it would be behind the canopy that will be overhanging the gas pump islands. That canopy's location was placed there by the variance that you visited months ago. As you may recall, also 5 foot of additional 5 foot of additional right-of-way has been acquired from this property as part of the I-74 corridor project. It was needed as part of the widening project that will take place at the finality of the downtown renovations, and that in essence has put all the setbacks for the front back 5 more feet, and is another reason that they cannot meet the setback requirement. The downtown development standards now require monument signs to be no taller than 20 feet and no more larger than 100 square feet. The applicant has had at least two redesigns of this that I am aware of, and now meets the new downtown standards. And to give you a historical perspective, this previously was a gas station at one time. I believe after that it was a used car lot, repair shop, things of many nature. That is the original pole for the original freestanding sign, and it too was not set back at the 20-foot setback even prior to the time that additional 5-foot right-of-way has been taken since then. So it's always been a problem down here, and I think that's a very good display of how the billboard is going to hide any sign that's required to be at the setback. Staff has calculated that the sign could be set back 10 feet and still be in front of the billboard. Staff also understands that the applicant wants to be able to have some type of visual separation between their sign and the billboard, and would like it at least some degree farther forward than that. I don't believe there'll be any line of sight issues because of the traffic pattern. It will remain one way eastbound at the conclusion of the corridor project. And while it's not easily seen on this graphic, State Street does curve to the north as you go farther west, and it gives you a good line of sight for vehicles exiting. You can see vehicles coming for quite a long ways. I believe that summarizes the request and the reasons for that request, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
My name is Chris Worskoff. I'm with Rife Oil. We are a marketer for Shell. We will be putting the image materials as well as the sign imaging for this site. I think John, his points were well taken, and the reason why we'd like to have it forward in that position is as they come around the curve, then we'll be able to see the Shell Pecton at 20 feet, and the gap between the Shell sign and the big billboard, there will be an additional small Shell, what we call a button or a canopy lit sign, that they'll also be able to see. It's a small sign. The main thing with it being forward like that is that as the consumer comes up from the curve, they'll be able to identify the site and what that site represents, and we'll be able to start changing their traffic lanes with plenty of time in order to be able to de-accelerate and enter the facility in a safe manner. That's all I have.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Is there anyone here else wishing to speak in favor of this request?
I have questions as I go.
Yes. If you want to speak in opposition to it, or?
I don't know yet.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I'm Valerie Surge. I'm the owner of the commercial property immediately to the east of this project. And you can see my red car in the photograph. Two questions. Does the sign go all the way down to the ground?
Yes, it will. That's a requirement of the downtown development standards.
Okay. Currently, there is parking on State Street in front of this gas station. I would like to request that parking not be there when the gas station is up and running, because it has always been extremely difficult to pull out of my property when there are vehicles on State Street in front of that property. And since it's going to be a gas station now, I think that the need for parking in front of that building probably is no longer needed, and I wouldn't be having a problem with the sign, I don't think at all, if there weren't cars on the street as well. So I would like to put in a request that you take away that parking on that, just on that block, just only on that block.
That would be up to the city council to approve or disapprove that. We can give it to staff and they can do some analyzing of it. Any other item, ma'am?
No, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or of this request?
I'm Michael Johnson. My wife and I, Marie Johnson, own 905 State Street, which is basically State Street Interiors. We're on the west, the second property west. And what the lady just said before is a good question. Even to get out of our driveway, if cars are parked along there, you can't hardly see it. And the cars don't follow the speed limit. They're going 35, 40, 50 miles an hour. And we're not here to say that Dev cannot have his sign, but there's not enough information for us to make a decision, positive or negative. I know you've said some questions before. The first question we have is it's a dirty, rotten shame that that billboard was put there in the first place, but that was done before the city area had regulations compliance for signs. The question we've got is, will that billboard be able to be there the rest of our lifetime? Is there any limitation on how long that billboard is going to be there? Because the billboard causes the big problem for the gas station.
We'll confer to our building here.
Yeah, that building or that billboard is owned by Fairway Company. They it's all dependent upon the length of the lease they have with the property owner.
It's a 10-year lease, which I'm going to renew another 10 years. They're in a 10-year cycle now.
Yeah. They're going to be very reluctant to see it go away because our new ordinances make it very difficult to replace it in the future. So, in my opinion, it's probably not going to change in the near future.
Okay. That answers that question. The sign that Shell's talking about placing there is going to go, what's the height of that sign?
20 feet.
20 feet.
20 feet.
And it goes all the way down to the ground?
It is required to do so.
All right. Now, the north edge of that sign going towards the street, how far will that be from the actual street curb?
That's what the board is going to be determining this evening.
Pardon me?
That is what the board is going to determine this
evening. Okay. I'm sure it would not extend over the sidewalk.
Oh, certainly not.
It'll be a minimum of 5 foot from the curb.
All right. All right. Like I say, we're not here to deter the station from having that. If the station gets put in there, it's nice to have that available in our area, since there is none now. The parking on State Street could cause a problem, and the lady we talked about in the accounting service, I can see that she could have a problem that it'd be unsafe to come out of her driveway. We have the same problem with even out of State Street because of the speed that the people travel. And they need a sign that they can see further distance away, because if somebody's in the north lane and they want to get gas, they've got to see a sign quick enough to be able to move over into two more lanes to the right to get into the gas station. We don't need accidents causing that to happen there either. So. At this point in time, we would say that we are not against the sign being put, as long as it's done in a proper method, according to city regulation and zoning requirements for that. Any further encroachment upon to the street, we would be against that for safety purposes, et cetera. And I know he needs to have a sign away from the other sign, and there needs to be some type of separation. So we're all for business to produce and go forward. But we just didn't have all the answers to the questions we just asked and she asked on your report that we were notified by. Okay?
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or in opposition to this request? Seeing none. My one question is, John, the
yes, sir.
State took 5 feet, and then the right-of-way is city right-of-way. The property line is just 5 feet back from the curb now?
That's a good approximation. Well, from the curb?
Yes.
Be more like 5.5 feet back of the inside of the sidewalk.
Inside
let's see if I can get
feet
that.
Inside the sidewalk.
Yes.
Okay. And then
previously it was about 1.5 feet back of the inside of the sidewalk, so it came back another 5. There were, if you went to the site, you probably saw some lines that had been painted showing the new front property line.
If the sign is too far out to the street, people might have a problem seeing traffic coming from the west also. Have you considered any of that?
I went to the site and I did set things up on site where the request was, mm-hmm. and I went in and out on both sides, and as I explained, because of the curvature of the road and the way that the traffic is moving eastbound, I don't believe there'll be a line of sight issue.
With traffic exiting the building?
That's correct.
Okay.
Do we know, is there any change in the traffic flow with all the new roadways intersecting, but that they're not going to take any parking away? Or
it will stay one way eastbound.
Okay.
It's part of the corridor project. Elimination of parking is not part of it, but we've heard tonight that they're asking staff to take that request on forward, so we will do so.
Because there's parking on the north side, isn't there?
There is.
Yeah.
If this sign were set back 5 feet from the property line, would that have an impairment on the visibility of the sign?
It is staff's opinion that the sign would be visible if you required a 5 foot setback. And it would have a slight separation from the billboard with that, rather than a zero setback that they are requesting.
Any other questions from the board?
Well, I would just like to be clear, from where the sidewalk or the south side edge of the sidewalk will be, how far is there between that sidewalk and the billboard?
The billboard or the sign?
The billboard.
Okay.
I mean, we're working with a 5 foot wide sign, and I'm just wondering how much space is actually between the sidewalk and the billboard.
Currently, about 20 feet.
Now,
that's why I said if it was put at the 10 foot setback, it's the new property line, is what I'm telling you. Trying to say.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, is where the new property line and any new sidewalk would be.
If it is set back 10 feet from the new property line, that would be just barely in front of the billboard.
Okay.
If it's 5 feet back from the new front property line, it would still be visible and it would have some separation.
About
from
5 foot.
Okay.
Separation.
Still have a 5 foot between the existing billboard and the sign.
Yes. And I'm sorry if I'm not making it clear. So if you're not clear, let me know.
It then would be also 5 foot away from any traffic on the existing sidewalk. Is that a fair?
From vehicular traffic, it would have even more separation
right,
than that.
I was just yes. people walking.
And I'm sorry, I don't know off the top of my head if the corridor redevelopment widens the sidewalk in that area or not.
It does not.
Okay.
Is there a motion on this item or further discussion?
Well, it sounds to me like going to the request is for
zero.
Taking it to zero,
yeah.
And that sounds like that may be impractical.
Yeah, it's going right up to the sidewalk.
Right. It's to me, that sounds impractical. It sounds like a 5 foot separation is a more practical, but the application is for zero, so I guess we have two choices. One is to, well, it's three: approve, disapprove, or amend based on an approval.
Mm-hmm. Correct. You can approve up to whatever you would like. They're asking for a variance to reduce the front setback from 20 to zero.
Yeah.
You can approve that. You can approve a variance to allow it from 20 to 5, from 20 to 7, from 20 to, or nothing, or disapprove.
Right.
As long as we publish something more than what you're approving, you can approve something less.
My only concern is with the lack of information we have about the final development of the corridor, that we don't approve something that then has to be moved because
Great.
We don't know about the widening of the sidewalk. Are you,
I can address that if you'd like. I've talked to the people a lot about what's happening there. Would you like me to answer that question?
Sure.
Okay. Where this site is going...
Ma'am, you'll have to go to the microphone.
I don't think on his end, on that end of his property, there's going to be any difference whatsoever. The road project ends about midway of his property and on the eastern side of his property. My sidewalk is going to be torn out in front of my building, but it's going to be put right back in the very same spot. It is not going to be any wider than it already is. So I don't think there's going to be any change to where his sidewalk is when the roads are done.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Go ahead, Christine.
Recently, there was a similar question with the Rule and Rule building on Utica, and you asked the applicant to submit a revised drawing that showed the sidewalk location and the right-of-way information with respect to the sign location. The board could always defer their decision this evening and ask the applicant to provide an additional diagram to show the right-of-way information, if
okay.
that's a concern.
Thanks, Christine. Maybe that's a good
that
question.
That might be
maybe
the best way to handle it.
We should defer it until we get a better
until we get
a
clearer
picture,
picture.
A clearer picture of what's going to happen down there.
I agree. We don't want to box ourselves in.
Okay. Yeah.
You may spend $20,000.
Is there a motion to defer this?
I'll make that motion to defer it back for more information, a better drawing that shows us the setbacks, the sidewalks, and the actual placement of the sign.
Second.
Would you call the roll?
Clements?
Yes.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case 16-050, 931 State Street has been deferred till the August meeting. Thank you. Case 16-051 at 702 8th Street, an R2 district. It's a request for a variance to reduce the established front yard setback along Jones Street from 7 feet to 3 feet 9 inches, submitted by Adam Smith. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the site is located at the intersection of 8th and Jones Street. It's at the northwest corner. It involves the parcel that is highlighted on the graphic being displayed. The applicant would like to join the single-family home structure to an existing above-ground pool with a two-level L-shaped deck, and the requested plan for that deck is being displayed. This home is already the closest home towards Jones Street, that being a front yard for this site due to the fact that it is a corner lot. It's already farther forward than all the other structures on Jones Street that are on the north side. However, for this lot, the front yard setback adjacent to Jones Street has been established by code by that area. So that is the front setback for that individual lot adjacent to Jones Street. Therefore, the reduction of the established front yard setback would be a reduction of approximately 3 feet of the established setback, going from 7 to approximately 4 feet. Routinely in this original section of the city throughout Bettendorf, the front property lines are located approximately 1 foot behind the public sidewalks. And that's true of the south side of Jones Street, as you can see on the graphic being currently displayed. On the north side of Jones Street, the property line is actually set back 10 feet back from the sidewalk. So even though this is farther forward, it does, as you're in the middle of the roadway, give the appearance that it isn't considerably farther forward because of that front yard setback being much farther away from the center of the roadway. Staff did calculate and design a reconfigured deck that does not protrude any farther than the currently established front setback. You can see the requested deck configuration in red, and then the reconfigured staff deck reconfiguration outlined in green. Still allows for the L-shaped two-level deck that connects the house with the above ground pool. The reason for the configuration of this deck is the applicant would sometime in the future like to make a house addition in that area there and needs to have the proper separations between pool and any structure that'll have a basement or single family structure, and that's why they're requesting this configuration. I did receive a letter of support, and each of you should have had it placed at your place at the dais, from a neighbor, a Terry and Catherine Edens of 726 8th Street, stating that they do support the variance request. I believe that summarizes the request and the items related to it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. This house was probably built in the late 20s, and there was nothing around it when it was built. So
it has been there for decades.
Yeah, I think Joe Kehoe was a builder. He built several homes in the area. Anyway, is there anyone here wishing to speak? Do you have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
My name is Adam Smith. I am the homeowner, and we are looking to get the additional square foot of the deck due to the fact of being able to utilize it for a grilling area also and for a patio set. I measured our patio set, and when everything is completely closed and the chairs are not even being used, it measures from back of chair to back of chair approximately 7 feet wide, which if we were not granted this, the 12 or the 9 foot width that in the reef configuration would not really allow anybody to sit and use it effectively. Mm-hmm. And to enlarge it, we would be only seeking to come off of the original portion of the house would be approximately 3 foot 4 inches, and there's currently a fence that wraps around that area of the property also, which from the edge of the deck to the fence I believe would be roughly 10 feet or so.
Okay. Thank you, Adam. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, does the board have a question?
There's a fence already existing that keeps you from a certain...
Pardon, Chris?
There's an existing fence that already protrudes well past the designated area where he's interested in having the deck.
Right.
I guess the question of the deck, to me, is one question, and the question of potential using that setback as a tool to put a future room addition there, to me, is a different question. I think that something above the height of a deck would be far more imposing and probably objectionable in the neighborhood than the deck itself. So I guess my question to staff is it within our purview to include, if we were to approve this, but to stipulate that it would only be for the construction of an uncovered deck?
Well, perhaps my explanation wasn't clear. When I said that they anticipate a room addition, that room addition is anticipated in this area.
Well, it's not anticipated in the same area as
no,
the deck.
Sir. No, okay. So well, I'm then. Sorry if I
no, I'm sorry.
Didn't
I
mis- clarify
obviously
that.
Obviously misinterpreted. Okay.
Yeah, I believe you can make that stipulation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it would be worthwhile, and you know, to at least consider it.
Because our plan, hopefully in the future, is to where that room addition in the, I guess it would be the northwest corner of the house, we are wanting to come off of the room addition to the corner of the existing house and make all that, I guess, kind of a flat area so we can enlarge our kitchen, which is just a galley kitchen. You can't even pass by if somebody's got the refrigerator door open, and the dining room. So, and that would only be a single story addition. So the roof line off of the existing new room addition would follow all the way over to, I guess, the corner of the house where the deck would come off.
So if I understand you correctly, that your intention for any future room addition does not include any area that the deck depicted there would occupy. It would butt up to that deck,
yes,
and utilize
that, is correct.
That deck as opposed to replacing that deck.
That is correct, yes. Okay. Yes, it's yes, sir.
Well, then, so if we make the stipulation that this, if we approve this, that it's only usable for a deck structure, an uncovered deck, then that would not be objectionable to you.
No, that is going to remain as just an uncovered deck, and then in the future we want to bring the house to the edge of the deck and then out to the offset of the room addition that's already there, so it'll kind of fill in that void right there.
Thank you for clarifying.
Thank you.
Any other questions from anyone?
I have a question.
Okay.
It's kind of, I don't know, maybe silly. Can the pool not be moved?
Not typically to keep within the guidelines of the requirements off of the fence that's in our backyard. And then if we are granted that new room addition, then that will remain like approximately 15 feet away from the basement. So the pool is pretty much where it kind of needs to be to fill the guidelines.
Okay.
Any other questions for anyone? Is there a motion from anyone?
Well, I guess I'm willing to make a motion that we approve a case 16-051 at 702 8th Street with the stipulation that the setback be reserved for above ground uncovered deck purposes only.
I have a question relative to this. With additional fencing, now that there's a social component to the house, are we going to have extended tall fencing that close to the property line in order to protect that? Or
it's is a under it's a ordinance? Front yard. Mm-hmm. Front yard fences by code can only be 4 foot high.
Okay. That's what I thought. But it's because it's on the corner is what I thought it had to stay short.
You'd have to be in the buildable area or behind the front line of the house for a 6 foot fence. I see where you're going. Perhaps you'd also want to stipulate that since you're reducing the front yard setback, that will not apply for a 6 foot high fence.
Yes. I'm not trying to limit the gentleman's use.
This is all new to us, this two front yard thing, because we would really, it would be nice to have a little privacy, but that doesn't seem an option in our situation that we're realizing now.
And I think the wording Mr. Falk is suggesting that if a variance is approved, it is for the purpose of the deck as submitted only. Yes. I think that takes care of the fence and the covered structures as well.
That's what I'm trying to say, yes.
I think there's two motions here. One is approve Dave's first, I think, to amend the request and then to approve it. Is that correct?
I'll second. Pardon? Mr. Falks, I'll second his amendment.
Okay. Would you call the roll on that, Lisa?
Comments?
Yes.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
No.
Gallagher?
Yes. Now let's have a motion to approve the request for the 3'9" setback from the right-of-way. Right?
So the first motion, I think Mr. Chairman is saying the first motion was to add the stipulation to the variance, and now the board should vote on the actual variance with the stipulation included.
Say that again. I didn't hear.
All you did was, instead of doing it together, you filed a motion to amend, and we voted on your amendment to allow the amendment to go on to the principal motion. Now we got to do something with the principal motion.
Yes.
Right.
A lot of times we don't do it that way, but that's why we did it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the original request is the from the street. So now it would seem that the
original request is to allow the variance.
Yeah.
But it has to only just be a deck as
you kind of stated before. Request,
just the deck cannot be covered.
Right.
Right. So someone want to make a motion to the setback from the right-of-way?
Well, I'll make the motion that we approved case 16-051 at 702 8th Street.
All right.
Amendment.
Second?
Sure, I second it the first time. Be a repeater.
Yeah.
Lisa?
Clements?
Yay.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
No.
Spranger?
No.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case 16-051, 702 8th Street has been approved.
Moving East Street.
Case 16-052 at 4823 Mason Run, an R1 district. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 40 feet to 27 feet to allow the construction of a 12 by 20 foot deck submitted by Premier Custom Homes. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Site is located on the south side of the cul-de-sac terminus of Mason Run. It involves the lot that's highlighted in yellow. The applicant would like to build a new home, including an attached deck, and that deck would encroach into the rear setback as shown on the plot plan. The involved lot and lot number 8 have 46 feet between the front setback line and the rear setback line. Most of the remainder of the other lots average 71 feet between the front setback and rear setback line. Lot number 9 has 75 feet between those two building lines. And lot number 10 has 104. The applicant points out that narrowness on lot number 11, and staff is going to point out that this is probably going to be the same kind of issue on lot number 8, is causing the issue for the placement of the house on the lot. The applicant states that in working with the person they're building the home for, they have tried to minimize this encroachment by finding a building plan that has a minimal width from front to back. It also states that they believe they've accomplished that, especially when considering the other homes that are being built or have been built in this same area on Mason Run. 4809 Mason Run is 70 feet from front to rear. 4876 Mason Run is 67 feet from front to rear. 4877 Mason Run is 78 feet from front to rear. 4696 Mason Run is 46 feet from front to rear. And the applicant's request, including the deck, which is the item protruding into the rear yard, is 59 feet. So staff would agree that the chosen footprint is not excessive, especially considering all of the other homes that are being built on Mason Run. So the applicant is pointing to the lot size, the light the lot configuration, and the depth between the setbacks as a hardship for this individual lot. If the board agrees with that is a hardship, then staff would also point out to you that there will probably be a similar type of problem with lot number 8. I believe that summarizes the request. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there an affidavit of publication on this item? Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Scott Webster, 5745 California Drive, represented Premier Custom Homes. We're obviously in favor of it because we have applied for it. We've worked with this particular homeowner and trying to get this particular lot worked out. This is pretty much one of our narrowest houses that we could possibly get. Outside of removing the deck, which albeit single-family homes only require one egress on that floor, the second egress would help as far as safety-wise to not only matching the aesthetics of the rest of the houses in the neighborhood. So if you have any questions for me, that's basically our extent. I know that Lot 8 is probably going to have the same issue, like Mr. Sankton said. It's going to be tough on those two because of the way the curves work for the cul-de-sac. It pushes the houses back there, but the back lines stay the same. So if you have any questions for me.
Thank you, Scott. Does anyone have any questions of Scott?
Nope.
Anybody else? Is there a motion or discussion?
The only thing I'll say is, you know, we build these subdivisions, we draw them out. We knew, I wasn't there on this one, I don't think, but when you look at that lot, you know you have this problem. It's a self-imposed hardship. I'm happy to solve the problem for this guy, I think, but I don't know how we solve the overall problem of putting together subdivisions that are built or set up such that they can't be built on. These are two almost unbuildable lots. They were set up by the developer that way. Somebody bought them, and now we're going to bail them out. And I'm okay with bailing them out. I don't get that. I just think somehow we need to be more careful about these lots that we create.
The things we look at.
I was on the P&Z when this happened, so I can complain to about other P&Z members.
The things we look at is, do they meet the requirements of the subdivision ordinance? Meets minimum square footage. Could a house be designed to fit on that lot? Certainly. Is it the type of house that everybody else in the subdivision is building? No. It is difficult. We have this problem every time we have a cul-de-sac in a subdivision, and there is a kind of a movement up front to try and limit cul-de-sacs in future subdivisions because they do create these problems. But I do understand.
Man, yeah.
Honestly, your concern.
I don't know that this is a hardship, but
there's snow removal and everything that cause a hardship.
What I think happens is, for instance, and so we're sitting here looking at a house plan that actually 4796 Mason Run would fit on this lot.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the builder has a client who has a desire to have something other than that.
Correct.
Right? 4696says it's 46 foot deep.
Yep.
This lot, we're told, has 46 foot of buildable space on it. So it's obvious that a house can be built to fit. And it, and very honestly, in this particular case, it's not just the deck that's in question. If you look at the house is protruding behind it, part of it too. Not very much, but part of it.
I have a question. We've just reduced the potentially reduced the utility access. We're down to 15 feet. Is that between the structure to the easement?
The utility easement.
Yeah, is there what kind?
The utility easement is this area here.
Is that,
this line is showing the building setback.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't really touched the building.
No, I'm just saying we encroach even further towards.
It would not encroach into the utility easement.
No. Okay.
No, ma'am.
No. I think the applicant had a question or a comment.
Actually, as far as the bump out goes, we could fit the house in there the way we oriented it, moved it around that curve a little bit by just a tad. And we could take the bump out off if we had to. It's only a single story window seat wall that we could remove. Then we'd have to remove the deck and we could barely make it fit, but then they wouldn't have an egress on that floor. Concurrently, I don't know if it, I think it says in the report, neighboring houses actually have 25 foot backyard setbacks. This one is the oddity in that it's zoned R1, but neighboring lots to the south, I would believe, are zoned R3.
That's correct. Part of the lots in this subdivision are R3 with 25 foot rear yard setbacks. Others in here, including this, actually all of them that I displayed before you, are in the R1 area, having the additional rear setback. It, had this been an R2 or R3, then it would have fit. So, yes, there are others in this subdivision that do have a less stringent rear setback.
Any other questions from anyone? Or is there a motion from someone?
Did he say lot 11 backs up to R3 also?
This lot, I believe, backs up to R3. So yep. The adjoining areas to the south will have a 25-foot setback.
Yep.
As far as the utility easement, we won't lower the utility easement or the availability to get that utility. They still have their full utility easement. We won't encroach into that at all.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or a motion?
Could make motion.
I'll make the motion to approve case 16-052 at 4823 Mason Run.
Is there a second?
Still need a second.
I'll second it.
And a motion and a second to approve. Lisa, would you call the roll, please?
Clements?
Yes.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Pranger?
Yes.
Folliger?
Yes. Case 16-052 at 4823 Mason Run Drive in R1 District has been approved. Now we'll go to item A, case 16-038 at 5768 Newcastle Lane in R1 District. It's a request for a variance to increase the allowable height of an accessory structure from 15 feet to 7.5 feet, submitted by John O'Brien. I know there's an affidavit on this one.
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, you visited this last month. Since we do have a new member, if you'll allow me, I'll go over the case again. The site is located on the graphic being displayed before you. The applicant just recently built a new detached garage. part of that application process, the applicant applied for a building permit and submitted the required building plans for that request. Staff received, reviewed, and approved the building plans and issued the building permit as required. The owner and builder acted upon good faith with that approved plan, that it had met all of the requirements and built the structure. Upon a site inspection, staff discovered that the structure was 2.5 feet taller than what was allowed by code. Code allows a 15-foot height detached garage structure as measured to mid-gable. The structure that was built is 17.5 feet measured at that same spot. Since the air was beyond the control of the applicant, they're requesting a variance. They don't feel that they self-imposed this upon themselves. They went through the correct application process, received the go-ahead from the city, and they built the structure. As circulated last month, you did receive a letter of support from the next-door neighbor, a Mr. Rad Pandit, for this request. And also last month, you had another neighbor that attended the meeting that was opposed to this request. At that point, the board asked to have additional time to study this, to go back and look at this from different views, including the person who showed up at the meeting last month from their property, and you wanted to have additional time to study this and take it under consideration now at this meeting. And I believe that's where we're at this point, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And that's, there was only three here last week, so we deferred it for that reason.
That's also correct.
Anyway, is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Hello, my name's John O'Brien. I'm the builder on the project. And when this whole thing started, we thought we were compliant with all codes. I've had a great reputation with the city of Bettendorf North for 25 years. And be honest with you, it's the only detached garage I've ever built in Bettendorf because they're not very common. If I was aware or a flag was brought up, we could have adjusted things, lowered the pitch, shrunk up the bonus room, done things that we would have been more than happy to be compliant. The original print that we submitted had 12-foot walls. I believe I have the minutes from the June 9th meeting. The opposing party stated that we had known the issue, which we did not, and we lowered the height of the walls by 2 feet. Well, we did that for a cost factor. When you do 2x6 construction, going from 12 foot to 10 foot, and they own two trailers and a boat, and we determined that we could fit those into the structure with 9-foot tall doors, which was a cost factor, going from 10 to 9 and dropping it 2 feet. We did that for a cost factor. If it would have been an issue from the beginning, we could have adjusted. We could have went from a 10 pitch to an 8 pitch, shrunk the room up, and we would have been more than happy to do that, but we were unaware. If it would have been brought to our attention in the beginning, we could have made the proper adjustments. That's all we can say. It's a beautiful home. The garage ties in beautifully with the structure, and it's just an unfortunate situation that it was overlooked by people. So is there any questions?
Does staff have any questions of Mr. O'Brien? Or the board have any questions?
Well, Bill brought it to my attention that we could make it compliant by attaching the two structures with a breezeway that we have designed. So we're attaching it with a breezeway, so we're actually using the house foundation and the garage foundation to attach. Unfortunately, that's going to cost my customer a substantial amount of money. And for 2 feet from, I think, the opposing party's house is 420 feet away from this garage. To have them have to spend an extra $8,000 to $10,000 is, I don't think that's right. So if you have any questions while I'm up here.
Did you say they are attaching it or?
No. We have that option.
Have a plan for it. Gotcha.
We have that option, but it's really going to look bad.
Okay, that's fine. I thought I heard.
No, we're not. Okay. We don't know that yet.
We don't want to.
We don't want to.
Okay.
If the variance is not approved, that's their only option.
Only option.
And if they were to do that, they wouldn't have to change the height of the building, of the garage.
Right. Correct.
That's correct.
It wasn't set up like that.
No, I understand.
From the get-go, so it's going to look.
I understand.
It's going to look like we cobbled it on there to comply.
My point being, though, that the structure will be exactly the same. It'll just
cut
a breezeway between them. That
it's not going to change it though.
It doesn't change anything,
no.
And it doesn't change any view from the neighbors, or it doesn't make any difference as far as what somebody's going to see, other than they're going to have this little breezeway that's going to kind
of correct
gobble up that space.
Both houses and garages do be compatible in height with the distance.
They're I bet you they're within 6 inches.
Yeah.
The height of the peak of the house to the peak of the garage. I think the house is even higher. Believe me, I've been up on there.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for the gentleman? Discussion?
I move we approve case number 16038. As requested.
Second.
There's been a motion and a second to approve. Let's call the roll, Lisa.
Clements?
Yes.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Bolliger?
Yes. Case 16-038 at 5768 Newcastle Lane in R1 District has been approved. Thank you, sir. There's a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
We're adjourned.